So yes, today I'm going to be your tutor about like academic referencing and the proper way of using academic evidence. I'm going to share my screen now. There you go. Oops. To the PowerPoint. And we're going to begin. So yeah, this is as I said, we're going to talk about evidence and referencing. I'm Kari, so I'm doing my PhD in neuroscience in UCL. So my background is quite scientific and quite academic. And I have quite a lot of experience of like marking essays and the proper way of referencing is definitely something very important for academic writing. And I've experienced that and I've definitely developed throughout the years. And I feel like now I consider myself an expert in that. So, to begin with, this seminar will include several things. So the key learning outcome of the current seminar will be to improve how you use evidence and how you reference within your text, which will allow you to be consistent and will allow you to score high marks in the referencing criteria in your essays. So we're going to start on by with some group reflections on the home exercise, and I'll provide some feedback on the examples some of you sent me. We're going to go over the theory of the types of evidence in academic writing. We're going to discuss some common mistakes which we as markers can encounter during marking. And we're also going to go through a specific checklist which will give you some recommendations as to the specific things you can look for after you finish your essay, and to make sure that you've got all these different points before you submit it, to make sure that it's up to good enough standard for submission. And we're also going to go through live marking. So before the live marking, I'm also going to go through a short demo about the referencing software I use, and then I'll give you some recommendations as to why it's very, very important to have a reference software. And then we're going to go through live marking session where we're going to look through an MA dissertation, and we're going to focus on how they've used evidence and referencing in that. Okay. And then we're also, at the end, we're going to have questions and discussions. You're more than welcome to ask any questions throughout the whole presentation, of course. I mean, yeah, it should be like an interactive session. So try to think about examples, and I'm going to try to involve you throughout the presentation itself. Right, so let's share some comments about the exercise itself and before we look at the actual examples. So what do you guys consider as evidence in academic writing? I mean, you're more than welcome to write in the chat or yeah. Sorry, can I ask a stupid question? How do you put the chat while you're, oh, there you go, chat. Sorry, there you go. Great. So yeah, evidence in academic writing can be very different things. So we're gonna go through that throughout the lecture. Oh, there you go, Damilare, like go ahead. What would you consider as academic writing? You can either say it or write it in the chat, whatever is easier.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Yeah, so what I would count as evidence in academic writing is a publication, like referencing a publication that has been peer reviewed by a panel of, scientific experts.
Yeah.
Or a panel of academic experts. So something that has been generally acceptable and has been published. So that's what I consider as an evidence. If you want to use it in your own essay, then you would have to reference it. So that's an evidence. Evidence is something that has been deliberated upon, probably published in a high impact journal that is peer review. So it's that's what I consider as an evidence.
Okay, yeah, that's a very good point. So you can have this is like one of the main things which are usually cited in different essays. academic journals and academic articles written, which are published in a peer-reviewed journals. But of course, you can also have a lot of different types of evidence on top of that. So you can have like, and we will discuss that in more detail later on in the presentation itself. Okay, there's Charlie saying, I think it's supporting contact data which have been properly proved scientifically true. Yes, exactly. So this is one type of evidence, things which have been scientifically suggested and demonstrated. But again, there's also another scope of evidence which could be non-scientifically shown. However, it can still be considered evidence. Okay, so then the main types of evidence you would use in your essays and dissertations. So what the main types you can use, as we mentioned, are academic articles. However, you can also have, for example, news pieces, like different governmental reports. You can have various different things which can serve as evidence depending on your subject. So for example, if you're, can someone give me an example of a non-science area?
Public policy.
Yeah, exactly. So public policy would use governmental documents, which are obviously, they're not science, they don't use they're like documents and laws, and you can refer to these, although they haven't been scientifically proven to be true. They are also considered evidence. That's right, Damilare. Okay, so then how do you manage your references? What are the main ways you guys manage your references? It's okay if you want to write it down or like say it. Do you mainly do them through a software or do you do them manually?
Hey, Karina.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Charlie.
Yeah. So I would like to ask, what do you mean by managing your references? Does it mean how to put them, how to arrange them in the essay, or just in general, how I find them, how I like select, how I put them in the essay?
I mean, you can refer to both. So the selection process is obviously a very, very big thing. And then once you do your research, you obviously want to put it into different categories. And then after that, when you do your actual in-text referencing and bibliography at the end, what is the usual, like, do you do it all manually?
I see. Yeah. So for me, it's like, I think that for selection, so for the primary like step to look for the references, I usually do it via two ways. One is through UCL library. So the online library, so just type in the keywords. And if that doesn't, like, usually if that doesn't work, that doesn't get what I want, then I would go to Google, just type in the keywords and search, yeah. And then I would how I do like the notes, so put them all together and then select them into my essays. Part of evidence in my essay. Yeah, and I think that's basically how I tend to do it.
Okay, and noting down important references, and then in case you want to look for more, then brings you only academic articles. Okay, and then the challenges you guys encounter when you use evidence and references. So what do you guys consider like problematic when you guys reference?
Hi, can I?
Hi.
Something?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So for me, whenever I look for some evidence and references, sometimes the resources, like, I don't know, how can I say, I just use Mendeley for collecting all the references. So I downloaded the file and then I put it into Mendeley. And sometimes it has a lot of issues, like they don't put any publication and date and the year, something like this. So I have some those kind of issues sometimes. And when I write my essays, I feel like I'm not sure this evidence is really supporting my main argument. I sometimes quite get easily confused.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one problem with which a lot of students encounter. So doing referencing, and they basically, obviously, if you read one paper or a review and then you start reading more and more around the topic, you get more and more confused as to what you're trying to say and what you're reading actually supports what you're trying to convey, your idea. So yeah, this is definitely something, as you said, like organization in Mendeley is definitely very, very important. So Mendeley is a very good software to use, but as you said, it has some problems sometimes when you're referencing, so it doesn't input all the information. So you do need to do that manually. But at the end of the day, I, for example, have used Mendeley since my first year of university, and my library there is like full. And now if I want to refer to anything, and even though I spend the time editing some of the documents, then I can refer back to all these papers and I can use them in my subsequent essays. So it's worth the trouble, but again, I understand that sometimes it's a bit problematic when you reference that. Okay. So now we are going to go through to your actual home exercise. So the first question which was asked of you was to talk about the type of evidence you guys use in your work, and if what types of evidence you would have liked to use in your work. So you were asked to refer to one specific essay of your choice that you have submitted, and then what type of literature you have referenced and what type of literature you have liked to reference. So one of you submitted said that in their essay they use mainly cases, so as you can see in this example here, and then they use a theoretical framework to base their actual essay on. So that's a very, very that's a very important thing in academic writing, to use specific cases and to use specific theoretical frameworks when you're referring to your work. And then other types of evidence that they listed that they include is secondary literature, supporting the main argument. So yeah, that's very important. Sorry, I think there's some work done around. the use of secondary literature is definitely important, as you also said earlier. It's important for you to properly use that secondary literature and to make sure that it is definitely relevant to your question. So I think it's definitely important during your research to organize your references correctly and to make a plan of how you're planning to use each one, so that you don't get too confused as to what you're actually trying to say with this evidence. So then in this other example, you can see a lot of different types of evidence used by the students. So statistics, case studies, textual evidence, graphs. So yeah, these are all different types of evidence which students used to support their arguments. And it's quite important to make sure that you use a combination of different things. As for example, here earlier said that the use of specific cases, so that's very important, but also the use of actual statistics and specific examples of in the field itself, which indicate, which provide support for what you're saying. Okay, does anyone have any questions regarding to that? Okay, we're going to go through. Okay, Damilare, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I wanted to ask before the last one.
Okay.
When it comes to using, what are the challenges you encounter when using evidence and references? So one of the things I think I usually have problem with is in terms of to what extent should I use an array of evidence, or to what extent should I actually pick out of all this to back up some of my claims or some of the things I'm trying to argue for or against. You know, I'm always, especially when you have so many evidence, I get into confusion.
Sorry. That's a very good question. So you want to achieve a balance between referencing enough and not actually just listing a lot of information and not talking too much about it. So this is something we're going to actually go into more in depth further down this lecture. So I will go back to your point, but I just want to introduce a couple of more aspects first, and then I'll get back to your question. And let me know if we don't answer it, you can ask again later on. Will that be okay?
All right.
Okay, great. Okay, so then the second example, the second thing you guys were asked was to, you were given a short paragraph and you were asked to note the specific mistakes in that work. So we first going to go through the actual text. So most of you noted that there was a varied use of the actual referencing style. So for example, in here, in the first reference where it's referring to Paley, he or she included a page number, which is not particularly necessary. So page numbers are usually used only when you refer to specific quotes. You could use page numbers in your referencing to emphasize something, but generally you wouldn't use unless you're referring to a specific quote. So in these cases, you have accurately said that the page number should not be included. And then if we continue going down to the second in-text reference, here again, it's included, the first name of the author is included, which is not necessary. So that's again, something to look out for in your referencing. So it's quite important when you're using one style to stick to that style. So in this case, it was asked for Harvard referencing, and Harvard referencing does not include the first name. So that's another problem with this work. Oops. Then the next thing is the use of, so here you can see that there's like, as has been noted here, there's a tautology of the reference. So it's been accurately noted by all of you, and how you've edited that in is by including the year just after the author's name. So this is a good way of avoiding repetition and a good way of actually making sure that you have all your references close together and that you don't actually have extra work come for no reason. And then again, another thing which it was noted by some of you is that how in the last sentence, there's no actual specific reference. So although the author is saying, according to him, there's still competitions among casts in other forums. So this is a direct fact taken from that paper. However, according to him, it's not a good enough in-text reference. You actually need to refer to the author, as you noted, excuse me, in these cases. Okay, so then if we go down to the reference list, you can see some examples of how you guys have suggested it should be changed. So actually, it's quite interesting to know something here. So first of all of the names are in capital letters. So that's something which Harvard referencing should not be like. Excuse me. thing I want to point out is, yes, you have correctly said how it needs to be referenced. So this is a specific book, and books are referencing a specific way using the Harvard style. So this has been properly suggested to be referenced like that here with the page number included. Here, the page number is not included, so this is this differs depending on the university. So Harvard's referencing always is one general style. It could differ between universities, and that's something to note when you're writing your reference list, to make sure that you're following the guidelines of your university and not of the overall Harvard style or whatever style you need to follow. Then the next one, again, is a book. So you guys have appropriately suggested how this should be changed. And then the last example is actually, I think it definitely needs to be talked about. So if you look up actually who this person is and what that article is about, so actually you can see in the original reference, they're referring to 2 years. They're referring to, that was the Paley one, sorry. So in the Paley one, they're referring to both 2001 and 2002, as you can see in this reference here. So actually in 2001, Paley published a book, which then they talk about in a review of theirs in 2002. So here, the author has combined two references into one, which obviously you don't want to do that. So you either want to, you would like to refer to the primary source or the actual book. But again, if that's not, that's not possible, you need to refer to the review itself. So having two references incorporated into one is definitely something you should avoid, you should not do. And then the last point is the last reference, which is an online reference. So you have properly said that it should be that the link should be added here. So this is definitely something important, especially when you specifically mentioned that that this is an online reference. So you should always include the specific website where you've taken it if you specifically mention that it's taken from a website. Okay, do you guys have any questions from going over this exercise? Okay, let's continue then. Right, so we're going to talk into more specifics about the actual lecture. So presentation and referencing are one of them, is like Casey's own different section in the referencing, in the marking criteria. So these are very easy points to get. So proper referencing and proper bibliography at the end and proper presentation of your actual work, this is the easiest points you can get in your essay. So you should definitely make sure that you do it correctly so that you get the most points out of it. So in the exceptional section, you can see that you need to have exceptional presentation with impeccable format and referencing. So we're going to go over how you can accomplish that in your essays. Okay, so there's several types of evidence in academic writing. As you guys mentioned earlier, there are academic texts, most references in dissertations are. So most of you refer to specific journal articles and specific books in your dissertation. This is the primary research you use to base your ideas on. However, as you mentioned earlier, although these are published in peer-reviewed journals, these shouldn't be taken lightly. You shouldn't automatically assume that these papers are correct or they show accurate information. Because I got a question. I have two questions in exercise two. Okay, I'm gonna go to there first, because so we can finish that chapter off. Whether we should change the order. That's a good question. So whether we should write names or titles. So, okay, so yes. So Harvard referencing, that's a very good point. Harvard referencing should follow alphabetical order. So in this case, you have Michel Luti before Paley and Tambia. So hard referencing does not depend on the order you have actually cited in the work. It should follow alphabetical order. That's a very good point, Minxuan. Thank you. Whether we should write names or titles all in capital letters? No, so they should be in lowercase letters as in this example here. So the hard referencing style follows like just normal capitalization as you do. Does that answer your question, Minxuan? Okay, I assume so. Okay, great. Sorry about not going over that earlier. Okay, so I was going to the point here that it's important to have it's important to critically think about all the research you're referring to in your essay. So, for example, and me as a person who as a neuroscientist, if I read a paper and then I look and then I don't automatically think, oh yes, that's definitely true. For example, you can look at the sample size used in these papers. You can look at like whether there are any contrasting studies. For example, two studies which have looked at the same thing, however, the outcome that they show is different. So this is definitely something very important to show in your work. So you should definitely make sure that you're looking at appropriate articles that have been well presented and they have good quality. And you should also critically think about them in your text itself as well. So you should definitely critically, you shouldn't automatically list references. As you mentioned earlier, Damilare, you should critically think about them and then you should think about how they're related to your actual essay. So this is something definitely very important for this type of, for any academic essay. Okay. Then the next type of evidence we're going to talk about is the gray literature. So can someone tell me what gray literature means?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, gray literature is a kind of literature that has not been peer reviewed.
Yeah.
That has not been published.
Yes, that's exactly right. Sorry, I'm just going to close the windows because it's a bit long. There you go, that's better. Sorry about that.
Yes, so yes. It has not been peer reviewed. It has not been published, but most probably has been presented in a scientific conference or presented in a conference of experts.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Damilare. Exactly, like gray literature is the literature that has not been scientifically been shown to be true, but it's still a literature out there and you should definitely make use of it. But here, it's very important to be critically thinking about it. Because it can be very helpful in several topics, especially when you've got little written about the actual literature. So for example, if you're doing a specific type of research, you're obviously doing it for a reason. You're doing it because it's original and it's new and it's something that hasn't been really talked about before. So sometimes you might not be able to find academic literature which supports your arguments. Sorry, excuse me. And this is when the gray literature comes into place, and this is where gray literature is actually quite useful. As Damilare mentioned, it could be unpublished papers, for example, in preprints of papers. It could be government reports as well. As I mentioned earlier, government reports and policy papers. So these are things which have not been peer reviewed by other people, but they're out there and they can be helpful to support your arguments. But however, they of course should be taken critically and should not be considered is true right away. And then there's Charlie Sink. Yes, exactly. So the gray literature can be definitely very helpful, especially for research that is not out there, it's not easily available. And the last type of evidence you can use in original in academic writing is original research. Excuse me. So original research refers to your actual research. So in most of your essays, you guys have statistical tests which you have performed, or you do questionnaires, or you do specific analyses to examine a specific question. So as I mentioned, so this can be interview calls you have that have been used in your text, statistical evidence, and a lot of other ones. So it, for example, it could be photos, it could be films, it could be anything that you that you have done. So if you have conducted research, this is called original research, and this is something which all essays, all dissertations refer to, that are not literature review, as you're conducting your own original research. However, for any research, it is important to carefully consider how you actually approach your question and how you test it, as this is something which can definitely impact the strength of your research and the strength of applying your research in the general field. Excuse me. Okay. So can you guys think of any other examples of primary or secondary sources? Feel free to talk ahead. So what do you guys think is primary and secondary? What are primary and secondary sources?
So I think primary sources are literally basically directly produced by someone, and secondary sources means someone using the primary source from elsewhere.
Yes, that's exactly right. So primary research primary sources are usually your own, what you're basing your research on. So for example, a primary source can be, if you're talking about paintings, can be a painting, or primary sources can be like answers from a questionnaire you've conducted, and so on. Whereas secondary sources are more like secondhand, which we've already discussed this topic. So secondary sources can be the academic literature, so academic journals. It can be a lot of different things. Can you guys give me examples of any secondary sources you guys use in your own essays?
Hello.
Hi.
An example of a secondary source is systematic review and meta-analysis.
Yes, that's a very good point. So they use exactly the primary literature, which have used specific data they have acquired, and they combine it all, and they reach other conclusions based on all of these papers. That's a very good point, Amilar. Thank you. Okay, so let's move on to the common mistakes usually found in the use of evidence. So in use of evidence and referencing. So as a marker, looking at evidence and referencing is definitely a main thing, because this makes a big category in the marking criteria. One of the most common mistakes found in the use of evidence is the over-reliance of quotes. So I've seen a lot of essays where there's constantly quotes being introduced and specific pages being properly referenced. But then again, if you have too many quotes if you use too many quotes in your work, this actually shows that you're not thinking too much about what the quotes mean, but you're rather just listing them. So sometimes quotes can be very useful, especially when you're including a specific definition and you're wanting to refer to that definition. However, you should not build all your paragraphs on a sequence of short quotes. So it's very important to critically discuss and critically think about what this actual information means. So you should always try to excuse me, show your own interpretation of different information. And this is definitely something to show your own thinking and your own originality in any type of paragraph that you use. A next common, excuse me, sorry, I don't know what's happening to me today. A next common mistake, which is usually found in the use of evidence, is the use of outdated research. So many times I've read an essay where it says the recent literature says that, and then they cite a study from 2010. So obviously 2010 is 10 years ago, so this is not particularly recent, and you should try to find the most recent literature around your topic. Sometimes if you're talking about specific theories, especially like models which have been introduced previously, of course you're going to cite a bit older papers, because you need to show the background behind your area in your topic. However, you should always try to introduce the most recent and the most relevant literature, because in that way you show that you've actively read around the topic and you've tried to find the most recent evidence which can explain why you're doing this work, as to why you're talking about this area and why it is important. So looking at the most recent literature can give you a very good overview as to what exactly is the current gap in the research is. Because if you look at older papers, like for example from 2005 to 10 or whatever, you're not going to know what the literature gap is, because this is from 10, 15 years ago and that's could have been worked on since then. So usually by recent papers, I mean like something in the last 5, even 3 years is something that's considered recent. Okay, so another common mistake used in the actual reference, Adelilari, go ahead.
Yes, as regards that last point you made about outdated research, I know in science sometimes you may have to refer to the first work that was done particularly in that field, and I learned that sometimes we have, like if you want to refer to the original paper that probably heralded that discipline, it's something that we could also use. Or what do you think concerning that?
Yes, definitely. So if you're talking about the first, for example, I work on Alzheimer's, so if I talk about when Alzheimer's was first found, so yeah, that's a long time ago. And I'll definitely introduce that because it is an important fact which will contribute as to how long it's been looked at. So it's definitely important to include all the references, as that shows that you've looked at the progression of that work from the beginning. But again, if you're talking about your arguments, you should base them on more recent work. It is definitely very important to introduce the older work as well, because this provides the basis for the most recent literature as to why it happened. So you should have like a balance between the two, of course. Okay, let's see. Okay, so yeah. Another common problem seen in referencing is incomplete references. So, for example, you can have some references where you don't include the year, or for example, if you have if you include specific quotes, then you don't include the page number. So this is something that shows that you have not been you haven't spent enough time into actually proofreading your essay and making sure that it's all up to standard. So this highlights again the importance of you looking over your essay after it's all complete to make sure that every bit of information is included and everything that's necessary is included. So this is definitely something very important, and highlighting the importance of essay planning and having enough time after you've completed your essay to look over your work and make sure that you've got all the necessary information. And then the last point is inconsistent references. So yeah, that again brings back to the previous mistake I mentioned. So you should definitely make sure that that you include page numbers where necessary. You should make sure that you're citing throughout with the proper referencing style. So for example, you definitely shouldn't switch between different styles throughout your work. You should stick to the style that has been asked by your institution or by your course, and that's the one you should follow. And you shouldn't include any other or guess how you should cite. You should make sure that it's all the same. It's also important to make sure that all the references you have actually included in your work are referenced in your actual bibliography at the end. So this is important because sometimes if I read an essay and then I see, oh, that sounds like an interesting article, and I look down and I see that it's not actually in your bibliography. So this is definitely something to look out for when you're doing your bibliography and your reference list. And that's also important to mention that the year's reference in the text should match the year's in the reference list. So this is, and that the author names are spelled correctly. So it's hard, especially when it's a longer piece of work, like a dissertation, to, it's easy to make simple mistakes like that. But for example, one tip I'll give you is I would, for example, search for a specific author in the search function of Word, and I'll just make sure that it's all spelled the same. And then I would usually, for example, if it's an author which is harder to write, like the actual last name is harder to write, I would add it to my dictionary, and then anything that's underlined would point out to any mistakes you made in the references. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to go through the checklist that you need to follow, which will help you make sure that you've got you're doing proper referencing and proper structure of your essay. So the first thing you need to make sure that it's present in your work is that you have enough supporting evidence. So for example, you should think about whether all the evidence you use is relevant to your argument. So this is what was mentioned earlier by that you need to make sure that all the evidence that you're using is actually relevant to your argument. So that this means that you're not going on a tangent, including some references and talking about a topic which is not particularly relevant to your actual essay topic. So this is a common mistake I've seen during marking. I see students talking about something, for example, if they need to talk about a specific disease and they start talking about another disease which is similar to it, and then the whole essay goes on to talk about that other disease. So this is something you should definitely look out for. You should always make sure that every paragraph is related to your topic and that all the evidence you're using is related to your argument. Another question you should ask yourself is whether you use your own words where you can. So this refers back to the use of quotes. You should definitely not over rely on them. It's useful to use them, but you should definitely try to paraphrase in sections where you can. So if something is said in a specific way, but you can definitely easily paraphrase it, or you can make it, you can associate it with your work better if you write it yourself, then definitely do that. Like, minimizing the use of quotes is definitely a must. Another thing you need to look out for is to see whether your writing is descriptive and whether you need to be more critical. So that's another very important point. As I mentioned earlier, you should definitely, as Zamilar asked as well, you should not just list a number of references and say what they do and that's it. I think a very, very good tip about that is that if you have a paragraph, it's definitely good to have a lot of references, but it's good to, after every reference or after every couple of references, for you to discuss what these references mean and how they contribute to your topic. So constantly referring back to your topic and critically thinking about these specific arguments and these specific references you're using is definitely important in your work. And then the last point which I'd like to mention is to consider the amount of evidence you use. So it depends obviously on the type of work which you're writing. So if it's a very excuse me. So for example, if it's a personal essay, the use of evidence is going to be minimal. However, if it's a dissertation, or an academic essay, which is usually based on specific literature, you should make sure you include enough evidence. So for example, recently I was marking some genetics essays, and there were, let's say, I think there were 1500 words, and there were some 4 or 5 references at the end. So 4 or 5 references for a 1500 word essay is definitely not enough. You should make sure you extensively use evidence in your work, as this showcases your understanding and critical thinking of the topic. Sorry. Okay. The next section you need to think about before submission is your table of contents and how you've structured your essay. So a table of contents is very useful for dissertations. It's not even very useful, it's a must for dissertations. So it's definitely something you need to include, as this allows your marker to orientate around the essay and see the structure of your essay and easily look at different sections. You should make sure that this table of contents is easy to follow and it's clear, it's well presented. Sorry, excuse me. it's also important to make sure that your page numbers page numbers in your essay are accurately represent the page numbers in your table of contents. So for example, if your introduction is on page 6 and in your table of contents it says page 4, it shows your bad organization skills and your bad proofreading skills. So you should actually work and do a table of contents for you very easily. So if you follow its structure and include headings and subheadings as word suggests, then it can directly create a table of contents for you. This is something you can easily not worry about. However, of course, after you change something, you should make sure you refresh that table of contents in the end. It's also important to see how you use the footnotes, in case you're using any footnotes, to see if they're formatted properly and are included properly throughout your text. Okay? The next point is the figures and illustrations. So I think a main problem I've seen in students is the proper labeling of figures. So it might vary between different topics, of course, between different areas, but in most cases, if you say figure one, you should definitely include a short summary of what that figure includes. So like a short title or something like that, because if you just include the figure on its own, and especially if you don't refer to it in text, which you should never do, the figure itself should stand on its own and it should be clear to your marker as to what exactly this figure is referring to. You should also make sure that you include a list of figures below your table of contents, because this allows for easy navigation of your marker around your dissertation and can show your structure and your good structure and your good organization skills. Another common problem seen in the use of figures is that they're randomly inserted throughout your text and they interrupt the actual reading of your text. So as a general rule of thumb, it's good to have all the figures that you're referring in one paragraph following that paragraph. So they should not come in the middle of your paragraph or come 2 pages down, because in that way it makes it very hard for your reader, especially in your results section, to see what exactly the results you're talking about are referring to in your figures. So it's definitely good to include the paragraph, make sure you refer to all the figures you have, and then follow that paragraph with the figures. In that way, it can make the reading of your essay much easier and can show a very good structure of your essay. A last important note about figures is that, as I said, you should definitely make sure that you refer to your figures in your text. And sometimes if you, for example, you change one of your figure titles or your figure order, you should make sure you double check that all of the other ones are consistent with that new change. And then the last thing on your checklist is your bibliography. So you need to make sure that all your references are included, as we mentioned earlier. You should list them in the correct alphabetical order. As you guys mentioned earlier, in the Harvard site, you should follow an alphabetical order. However, if, for example, you're using number referencing, so you, instead of using the names of the authors, you use 1, 2, 3, you should make sure that your order at the end follows the order you've actually cited them in your work. So this is something definitely important to look out for at the end when you finish your essay. It's important to format your list correctly, and you should make sure you don't have any missing references. Okay, do you guys have any questions for that part? Okay, let's continue then. So we're gonna finish all by giving you 8 top tips for referencing, which as if you follow these tips, and I'm pretty sure you're gonna end up with a great referencing and the use of in-text evidence in your work. So now, first thing you need to make sure, is to make sure that you follow the reference style for a specific assignment, department, or university. So earlier in the examples, I will show you that as well with the live demo of Mendeley, is that sometimes, although, for example, the Harvard style is the same across, so it's a general referencing style, it could differ between different universities. So for example, in the earlier examples you guys gave, some of you put the title of the paper in quotation marks, whereas others, other of you didn't put it in quotation marks. So this is definitely an important point to take into account. So since I'm part of UCL, I follow the UCL standards. In this case, you wouldn't put the title in quotes. So it's very important for you to make sure the style you're including follows the style of your actual course, department, or institution. You should make sure that you use your referencing style consistently. So you shouldn't decide to switch between different styles in the middle of your work, or maybe another point I'd also like to raise is, for example, if you consistently use include the author names at the end of your sentences, sometimes having that consistent throughout your work may make it more easily read. So for example, if that's how you include your references, then don't say, for example, Vitanova 2010 said, because sometimes this can be a bit confusing and it might make it more consistent throughout your work. It's not like a definite thing to do, but it might make it easier for your marker to read your work. It's important to keep good notes, to include page numbers when you refer to specific quotes. And so this is very important, as we mentioned earlier, with regards to planning. You should make sure, when you're doing your research, you should make sure that you take good notes on how you what specific evidence you're going to be using. And in case you're wanting to use quotes, you should note down these page numbers and make sure you include them in your work, because this shows that you're well organized, and this is something that markers look out for, especially in quotes. If you use quotes, you should definitely make sure you include the page number. Like that's, if you don't include the page number, it could be, it is a big mistake to include, to have. But of course, the use of direct quotes should be used with moderation. So I usually don't tend to use any quotes in my work. So I always try to paraphrase. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, this is something that showcases your understanding of the actual work. So if you directly quote, you're basically listing the information. Whereas if you try to paraphrase, you're trying to show your own understanding of it. And this shows that you've actually actively thought about it. So in a way, the use of quotes could be helpful, but sometimes you should definitely avoid the use of quotes. If you can paraphrase something, definitely do it instead of just introducing a quote. So another important point is the use of a reference manager. So Jansu mentioned earlier about her use of Mendeley. Was it Jansu? Not sure, sorry, don't remember. Do you need to drink some water? yes, I will go and drink some water. Thank you. Be right back, sorry. There we go, I'm back with more water. Thank you so much, Charlie. Okay, so as you guys mentioned earlier, the use of a reference manager is very important. So it has helped me a lot throughout my university years. It has helped me organize all my evidence appropriately. I will show you that in a bit. It has helped me reference properly, so use the accurate referencing style as requested by the university, and it can definitely help a lot of times. So it's very easy to use, and once you have all your references, you click one button and your bibliography is made right away. So it's very straightforward. Okay, so it's also important to make sure that if you're including non-standard sources, for example, like a YouTube video or some a blog post, you know how to reference that. So you shouldn't just include information and guess how it should be used. You should definitely check your guides, or in case the guide does not say, you should check with your tutor to make sure that you properly reference, so you don't lose out points on this silly mistake. You need to make sure that each in-text reference corresponds to a specific reference in your reference list. So including any, you should make sure that all your references you have included in text are included in your reference list. So that's definitely a must, as I mentioned earlier, so markers can look over it and say, oh, I want to look at that reference, and then it's not in your bibliography. So this can basically, this is a big mistake to make, and you should avoid making it. You should set aside sufficient time to reference accurately and consistently. So this again emphasizes on the importance of organization and how it is important for you to spend enough time, to have enough time after you finish your writing your essay to make sure that all in-text references are present, that your bibliography is present, and so on. Okay, so that's it for the lecture. Does anyone have any questions for now? Yes, Damilara, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to know the referencing, what reference manager you would recommend. Because I know that there is EndNotes, Mendeley, Zotero, RefWorks. Presently, I use Mendeley, but I noticed that there are still some lapses with Mendeley. Yeah. So, and I'm the kind of person that loves to stick to something that I know I would continue to use that would cover any lapses any other software would have. So, could you please recommend one that would be suitable from now on for long term?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So as you guys mentioned earlier, there could be, so Mendeley can have its problems. So throughout all my whole undergraduate and first year of PhD, I was using Mendeley mostly, but then these mistakes annoyed me a bit. And I actually started using EndNote, but that's also due to the fact that my whole lab uses EndNote and they require us to use EndNote. So the problem with EndNote is that it's not commercially available software. So if your organization can authorize you to use it, then that's perfect. EndNote is actually really good, but some people might not have access to it. So EndNote, Mendeley, I have used Mendeley as well. It's actually a really good software. So I still use it a lot for organizing all my references. I'll show you that in a bit. And in terms of the mistakes it can make, so for example, sometimes it doesn't follow the style you want it to use. So there's a lot of, for example, the Harvard style in UCL, as I mentioned, could be different than other universities. And there's a lot of different styles available in Mendeley. And if you test all of the different Harvard styles, you will find the one that suits your university. So I will show you that in a bit as well. I think Mendeley is actually a very good option to use, and it's free and easy to use, and or helps you organize everything well. So I would stick to it for sure. I think it's a very good software. I don't know about the others. Zotero I haven't used, but it looks very similar to Mendeley as well. So it's as good to use, I think, as Mendeley. Okay. So as I mentioned just now, there's these three softwares, Mendeley, Zotero, and also these are the primary softwares. I know there's some online websites where you can do referencing as well. So I think Citedis for me is one of them, but it gives you a limit on the amount of references you can do at a time. And these type of softwares you can incorporate into your Microsoft Word and you can reference as you go. So this makes it much easier at the end to make sure that you have included all your references in appropriate places and so on. So I'm going to switch. Going to switch to Mendeley to show you how I use Mendeley. Sorry, I need to change my, there we go, sorry. Do you guys see my screen? Yeah. So this is how Mendeley looks like. As you can see here, I have different folders. So UCL Alzheimer's, and that's what my PhD is on. I can look at that category, and you can see I have a lot of different sections. So what I usually do is I look at all the, I examine references online, and then I put them into my reference software, Mendeley, and then I put them into the category they belong to. So in that way, it allows me to organize all my references and it allows me to find them easily. So for example, I'll give you an example of a reference, what I usually do. So this is one reference by Stephen et al. And then if I open here, Mendeley automatically includes all the author names, the journal, the year, the volume number, the issues, the pages. So it's very useful. Another feature I definitely make use of in Mendeley is the use of notes. So as you can see, I said this is a useful paper for thesis. I provide usually like a short summary of what the paper is about. And then you can see comments, which are actually comments throughout the work. Let me start. So these are comments which I have included throughout the work, as to which are basically highlights which I find important. So you can see I've highlighted the whole paper, which basically allows me when I look through my papers, I look at my summary and I find the most, I haven't done it for all of them, all these ones, but you can see I in that way I can find some which are relevant to my specific essay. So in that way, it's very useful for me to find back papers which will be helpful for my writing. I'll also show you how to reference that. So for example, I have actually found that if you use the Leeds Metropolitan University Harvard, it's similar to the UCL requirement, for example, for Harvard. So the way Mendeley works, let me delete that. For example, I press insert citation. There's a window which does not appear, but I basically write the author name. I click OK. And then it automatically formats the citation. You can see it automatically made it. So basically, if I write a sentence, so Alzheimer's, whatever, and then I end my sentence with this reference. So it's important to use it like that, because in that way you make sure that all the information you include, you reference it right away. You don't need to worry about it anymore. You don't need to worry whether you've referenced it, whether you have properly included all the information you need. That's it. And once you're done, you just click insert bibliography and basically insert the bibliography of, it's a bit slow, it inserts the bibliography of all the references you have used, and it does use the proper alphabetical order for the Harvard style necessary. So it's definitely a very useful tool to use. And I will show you how you can even add entries. So you, oops, no, that's not how you, so you can click add, and then you click add entry manually. You can select whether it's like a book, a case, a computer program. So you can, there's a lot of different categories, and then the information you need to enter differs depending on these categories. So yeah, Mendeley is definitely very useful for use. Okay, let me switch back to the presentation. Do you guys have any questions regarding this? Okay. Sorry, I'm finding it a bit hard to include all the windows at the same time. As you guys usually end your session, we're gonna end it with a live essay marking. So I'm gonna show you the things I look out for in an essay when I'm marking its use of evidence and referencing. So feel free, so I'm gonna ask you like what you guys think about certain paragraphs. So feel free to say or write whatever you think about the way the reference has been used in it. So I'm gonna share a new screen, which, okay, there we go. So this is the essay. So the essay is a dissertation on how does heteronormativity negatively affect queer women in different spheres of life in contemporary Japan? It is analyzed through queer female voices in Japan. So, looking at these papers, so I'm gonna scroll down. If you wanna say something, just raise your hand and go ahead and help yourselves. So, looking through the abstract, there aren't any references, so then I go down. Looking at the table of contents, it looks good. It could be better presented, in my opinion. It could be on the whole page, for example. Then we scroll down. Then is the introduction. So looking at the introduction, the first thing which catches my eye is this. So me as a marker, I see that they, for example, included the specific page number, but they don't include quotation marks. So two things go through my head. So this is either, they have either forgotten to include the quotation marks, which shouldn't happen, or they don't need the page number. So this is something unnecessary for this work, for this actual sentence to include the page number. And it adds extra words, and it's not particularly necessary. Okay, then if we continue scrolling, well, you can see this paragraph has around, what, three references? And then continue down. And something I noticed in this work is that there's a lot of information. However, there's no actual any, there aren't any references. Although this is just the introduction and obviously introduces the topic, you should make sure that you include enough evidence to base your actual research on. So even in your introduction, even if it's not the literature review of your dissertation, you should make sure you include relevant information, which is why your study was initiated, which is what made you do this study. Then if we go in the actual, that's a literature review, I think. Okay, let's stop on this paragraph here. Do you guys notice anything specific here that is problematic?
No quotation marks for one reference with the page number.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Charlie. So exactly, there's two sentences. So there's this sentence here, and this sentence here, where they've either should have included page numbers or they haven't included quotation marks. Either way, this is the page number isn't necessary if it's not a direct quote. So yeah, that's a good point. So then if we continue going down, for example, this is a good paragraph to look at. Do you guys see any problems here? I think a specific point which needs to be paid attention to is actually here. The reason why I noticed it is because it says in the year 1998, and then the citation is from 2011. So this is something where, for example, the use of older evidence is more useful than the use of more recent evidence. So if you're referring to something that occurred in 1998, try to find that reference. So don't take that idea from like another paper or a review and then refer to that other review. So you should try to use the primary literature in this case as to, for example, when heteronormativity was defined. Does that make sense? Okay. So then we look through this other paragraph again. Do you guys notice anything specific in addition to the inclusion of a page number without it being necessary? So actually, a thing I noticed is that you have two references in the beginning, and then that's it. So there's a big portion of this paragraph, which is just saying through this, it is recognized, which is good. So they're talking about the previous references, but they don't actually use any research to base their ideas on. So it's a lot of rambling and talking without actually basing on actual any evidence. So if in your literature review, you would like to use a lot of evidence, and these things are actually more appropriate for the end of your literature review or for your discussion. Okay, so if we continue, so again, there's a lot of paragraphs which have a lot of references in the beginning, but there isn't actually any references further down. So for example, this sentence: in a contemporary heteronormative society where heterosexuality is favored, verbalizing one's queer identity has become inherently political because there is a history of oppression towards queer identities, which is a result founded the LGBT movement in order to promote equality for LGBT peoples. So, do you guys think that this statement needs a reference? So, yeah, I would say in definite it's a reference. So the author is saying that verbalizing queer identity has become political because of a history of oppression. So these are things where you're saying specific, the author is saying specific facts, but they're not actually referring to any specific papers. And it's very important, actually, I want to mention something, that in the use of references and in-text references by students, there's actually quite a lot of variation. So a lot of students only have a lot of ideas, and then they only reference the last sentence of this series of ideas to a specific journal or journal article. So it's important that all your sentences are properly referenced to the right information. So even if there's repetition of like the same reference several times in a row after several sentences, you should definitely make sure you every reference is, every sentence is properly referenced. So you should cite every statement that is related to a specific evidence. Okay. If we continue, we can see quite a lot of page numbers are included, which is not particularly necessary. So I think looking at this work, it just, I can see quite a lot of information is just information from the author, but without actually referencing a lot throughout their work. So the use of referencing is not actually to a good enough extent as it should be in a dissertation. So yeah, you can see, for example, in this paragraph, there's only one reference, which shows that extensive research has not been done on the topic, and it's rather all over the place. So this shows that there hasn't been that much planning during the search, during the research, to use enough references in the essay itself. Okay, so if we scroll down to the referencing list, whoa. Oh wow, I don't know what happened. Sorry. Yeah, it crashed. I apologize for this. Let me just open it quickly again. Sorry about that. I'm gonna share my screen again. There you go. Okay, let's scroll down to the reference list. It's the last thing to look at. So the bibliography is in a proper alphabetical order, so that's something important to notice. You have quite a lot of links included, which is good if they're from web pages. However, one thing I noticed right away actually is that there's a difference in the way links are included. So for example, in this reference, you can see available from, and then in this reference, it says viewed whenever, and then the link is included. So this is not actually, it's not consistent. So this shows that you've actually not done your, the author has not done their referencing this properly. So this is something you should pay particularly attention to. So you should make sure that it's all consistent and it's all in accordance with the referencing style you need to use. And yeah, I think this is what I want to talk about the live demo. We can go back to the presentation. And then we can see if you guys have any questions regarding the use of evidence in your work. Feel free to speak or write in the chat. In case you guys have any questions still, Damilare, for example, about your use of specific evidence throughout your work, is that clear to you now how it's best to approach these? Okay. So,
hello.
Hello. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes, it's now clear to me.
Okay. Great.
And one of the things I also learned is that in using the evidence, you know, there has to be an hierarchy of evidence, like from the academic evidence to the grey literature, then to third one. So it has to follow that order. So even in every paragraph, if one wants to take the evidence, it has to take precedence from the academic evidence to grey literature, then down to the proper.
You don't necessarily need to include all in one paragraph, but it's definitely something worth noting. So you just need to make sure that in your work you don't you can include other information, but it doesn't necessarily need to be within the same paragraph for sure, because then it can be a bit it can be a lot of information in one place. Is that clear?
Yeah, that's clear. Thank you.
Okay, no worries. Does anyone have any other questions? Feel free to ask about like the use of different referencing software. Sorry, Charlie.
Hey, Karina, can I just ask for the like very simple question? So for quotations, if I'm the quotes like anything from a primary source, do you recommend me to use single quotation marks or double quotation marks? Or does it matter at all?
So again, it really depends on the requirements from your department. So it could differ. I personally use double quotation marks when I use quotes, and I use single quotation marks when I use, like, for example, something that's well known as something. For example, I don't know, I can't really think of an example. For example, if a certain symptom with the disease, for example, face blindness, I might include in single quotation. But if I'm using the specific quote, I'll use double.
I see what you mean. So to single quotation marks when you're doing your work to interpret the second meaning of a term.
Yeah, exactly, like a term, exactly. So the use of a term, I would use single quotation marks, yeah.
Okay, but got it.
Yeah, I'm glad. It could differ, again, between departments, but generally I think the use of double quotation marks is more widely spread than single
quotation marks. Okay, we'll adopt it then. We'll use the as you said, yeah, double for the reference, single for self-interpreting.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Thank you. Glad I could answer that. Damilare, you raised your hand, I saw.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, yes, I did raise my hand. I wanted to ask, when it comes to essays, commentary essays, how do we go about the references of a commentary essay?
What do you mean by commentary essay? Do you mean like a review?
Like an essay where one needs to critically evaluate probably two papers or something.
Okay, so that's a very good question. So I think, you're going to refer to these two papers you're talking about. However, it's also important to base, for example, if you're critically discussing them, so you're saying paper one doesn't have, for example, a large enough sample size. And then it's good, for example, to introduce other references which show the importance of sample size in statistical testing, for example. So in this case, you're not expected to use as many references as you would be expected in a review, but it's also always good to introduce other references throughout your work, even though you're only expected to include two. In that way, you show you've read around the topic and you've actively searched for a certain, for certain facts which can support your argument. Is that clear?
Okay. Does that mean that by the time one has read widely and one wants to reference the evidence, one can now bring in the evidence from the wide reading?
Yes. Exactly.
And reference.
Yes, you should. So, as I said, the way I usually do it, so I've written such essays before during my time in university. So, for example, I had to critically, oppose two papers and say, what my opinion about them is. So, the way I'll structure my paragraph would be talk about paper, for example, talk about one aspect in paper one and paper two. Then say, note down certain aspects which differ, which is my own thinking. Then bring about other literature from my wider reading as to how this supports my argument. And then at the end, critically summarize all of these things, all the information I've included, and say, for example, your own ideas to what, for example, is more accurate and which paper is has looked at that better than the other, for example. Does that make sense?
All right. Thank you.
No worries. Okay. I think, does anyone have any other questions? Because I think we are at our 1.5 hours. Okay. So...
Thank you so much for that, Carrie. That was really fantastic and a super fascinating topic. So I'll just do a kind of quick end announcement, just saying that, next week, Alexandra is back. I hope you guys all enjoyed K Carrie's talk. Do give our feedback and kind of just your experience. So we also now are uploading all the videos on our website. So some of you have already accessed this. So far we have the videos of the course for the first three sessions, and then we're going to upload the next three, including today, by tonight. So again, if you also want to have video access of the course, then just let us know, and then we can add you to that. It's $4.95 for the whole course. That's just basically £5 for each session. And again, the reason was that it takes time to focus on the encoding it and uploading it and setting up the technology side of things. Yes, so I think that this is all for today. Again, really great work, everyone, and I really feel that we're making such fantastic progress on this, which is really excellent. We're going to have another guest teacher, which is going to be Summer, who you met briefly previously, Summer from Cambridge, social anthropology, and so she's going to be teaching week 8 or 9. I forget which week it was. But excellent. So again, thank you so much, everyone. That's all for today. And I hope that you all have a very lovely day. Thank you for your good feedback, Charlie. And we can say thanks to Carrie for her fantastic work as well, everyone.
Yes, thanks, everyone. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully it helped you understand the wealth of evidence in your work.
Definitely. Thank you so much again. That's excellent. Great, guys. Well, we'll see you all next week then. So thank you so much. See you later, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
Bye, everyone.